Amen. Well, I thank the Lord for His blessings to us.
Amen.
Thank the Lord for the blood that we sang about. You know, if it wasn't for the blood, we'd be in a terrible place tonight. I'm thankful that there is power in the blood. Blood to cleanse us. Blood to wash away the sins and to help us to be able to have that power that God ordained for us to have. I certainly desire your prayers tonight. Feel in need of the Lord to help us. We talked last night about the truth and how that without the Holy Spirit that we're not able to understand Scripture or comprehend truth. And we read in the 14th chapter of John where that Jesus said that He would send the Comforter, even the Spirit of truth. And we read about how that Jesus said that He would send the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and that He would teach us all things and bring us all things to our remembrance. And then we read a scripture here in John, the 8th chapter, and I'd like to go back to that. This was where Jesus was speaking and to the Jews. Said there that spoke to those Jews that believed on Him. John, the 8th chapter and 31st verse. He said, "And if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I thank the Lord tonight for the Word of God.
Amen.
And I'm thankful tonight not only for the truth, but also for the freedom that we have in Christ.
Yes, yes.
And the freedom that extends to the church of God, to the body of Christ. I'm thankful tonight that God ordained that you and I might have freedom. There's a song. I'd like for us to start out with that. If someone would get it, I think it's number 71. The title of that song said, "I am free, the Lord hath saved me." And I'd like for us to sing that song and think about the words as we begin to sing that. Someone lead that song.
"I am free, the Lord save me,
I'm a sorrow in my sin.
Story of the life that
Thank the Lord.
Amen.
Saints, does that song ring true in our hearts tonight? Is it when you sing that song, can you lift up your hand and say, thank the Lord for freedom tonight? I believe that God wants you and I to get a hold of something tonight. That God ordained for you and I to be free in the church of God. That God wants us to be free from every power of bondage. And He wants to set us free. I wonder tonight if we're free indeed. This scripture says over here in this same chapter in this 36th verse, He said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. There's another song that we sing that says, free, 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 I am from sin set free. This world has now no charms for me. Thank God I'm free, free, free. You know, I believe that God wants us to be free tonight. I believe that He has given us a plan of salvation that will set us free. And I thank the Lord for that tonight. You know, freedom is a wonderful thing. Freedom is something that we must hold very dear. Lord, help us to cherish it and guard it from the enemy of our soul. Because, saints, our freedom is under attack this evening. The enemy is out to attack our freedom. Well, it's not new. He's done it all the way since the beginning of time. And He's going to continue. I think about this evening, how that our country is at war this very time because of an attack on our freedom. There was enemy came in and he began to attack us, and the enemy began to come against this country because we're a free country. And you know, it's not the first attack that we've had, and it won't be the last. As long as this country stands for freedom and they begin to promote it across the world, there will be enemies that will rise up against that freedom, and they'll begin to attack that. But you know, this country has stood strong down through time because it's been united. We have a song that says something about that. Our country is united, one nation under God, with liberty and freedom for all. You know, it's because of that this nation has been able to stand strong. Unity is a powerful thing. And it's hard to overcome unity. And I want you to know tonight that when God is the center of that unity, that power is multiplied many, many times. And it's a power that nothing can overcome it. History has proved that all down through time. And nation after nation that has stood for God. You look back through the scriptures and you begin to see how that God blessed Israel and how He was able to work with them. You know, it was because that they looked to God. And when they turned from God, then God began to lift His hand of mercy and protection, and their freedom and their power was gone. Oh, I want you to know that it's not the enemy that's without our country that I fear. It's not those that are attacking us from without. But it's the enemy that's attacking our freedom right within our country. That's the ones that we need to fear. Because those enemies are hard to fight. And they're more dangerous than the other. You know, that's true literally and it's true spiritually. The enemy of our soul is out to try to destroy. And I'm concerned about how that the enemy would like to come in and begin to attack and begin to work and try to come against us. But I believe that God has something for us. I believe that God has power for us to be able to stand. My burden tonight is not how to fight the battle. But my burden tonight is that we be able to recognize that where our unity comes from. And to be able to recognize that the source of that power. I believe there's a scripture that I'd like to get here in Galatians, the 5th chapter. You pray for me tonight. Galatians, the 5th chapter. Very familiar scripture, the first verse. The Apostle Paul here said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We said our freedom was under attack. And like our nation, it's not the first time. And it won't be the last. It's not the enemies that come without the church that we need to be as concerned about. Those enemies that begin to attack us from without will only serve to unite us and make us stronger. When we begin to unite behind the cross, there is no power of sin or hell that can have dominion over us. The Scripture said, sin shall not have dominion over you. When the enemy begins to attack the church and he begins to come in with every force that he can, as we begin to unite behind the Lord, God will give us power and He will give us victory to overcome all the enemies that we face. But you know, there are attacks, the things that happen that come against us. And this is what I'd like for us to look at. He said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You know, that strikes a chord in my heart that causes me to pause and think, Lord, help us. The Apostle Paul said, be not entangled again. This tells me this was a people that were free. They were free, but somehow they begin to get entangled again in the yoke of bondage. You know, bondage is slavery. Bondage is something that will cause you to be bound, and it's something it's a dreadful thing. And he said here, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. We talked about truth last night. The Scripture said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, help us tonight. We're going to have to get a hold of the truth. We're going to have to hold it fast. We're going to have to love it so dearly that nothing can shake us from that truth. Because He said, and be not entangled with the yoke of bondage. Oh, Lord, help us tonight. My fear is not from all the forces that come against us, but the very enemy that would try to slip right in and cause you and I to get so entangled with the yoke of bondage that this freedom that we have and that we cherish so dearly begins to slip away. We begin to find ourselves losing that power, that anointing, that richness that God has. He went on down here and Paul, he said, behold, I say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. He said here, Paul was dealing with this people that had been set free, and somehow the enemy began to get in and work and entangle them back, and they began to entangle them in bondage. And he said here in this fourth verse, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Oh, saints, Lord, help us tonight to get a hold of the thought that the Lord has for us tonight. He said, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are that are justified by the law, Christ is that one. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, if we know him, the truth would set us free. But now Paul is saying here, Christ has become of no effect. How can that happen? What is there that would cause a person to turn away from Christ? And when you begin to behold the love of God, and we begin to talk about that tonight in the songs and during the service of the power of the love of God, and how is it that we can turn away from something that is so precious? Oh, Lord, help us tonight. How much do we value the blood of Christ? How much do we value this precious gift that God has given us? You know, we're going to have to hold it. We're going to have to cherish it. We're going to have to guard it, or the enemy of our souls is going to slip right in. He's going to begin to entangle us with all the other things. And we're going to be like these Galatians. And he said, Christ has become of no effect unto you whatsoever. I believe here that the Lord wanted to be able to show, he wanted to be able to help Paul to show these people that there was something that was happening. There was something that was going on. He said here, he went on down, for he said in the 7th verse, you did run well. Who did hinder you? That you should not obey the truth. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Oh, folks, where are we tonight? Are we running well? Is the Spirit glowing in our heart? Do we feel a real fervent love for God? Or has something hindered us? Have we just settled down on our lease, so to speak, and we're just kind of going along with the flow? Or is there real burning down in our soul? Is there something there? He said, you did run well. Who did hinder you? That tells me that these people once had a real experience with God, and the Spirit of God was glowing in their heart, but something hindered them along the way. This is a burden to me tonight. He said, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Oh, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. What Paul was dealing with here was the same thing that Christ warned him about. Will you turn over with me there to Matthew, the 16th chapter? This is a solemn thought, and I'd like for us to get a hold of it. Jesus was speaking here. And I'm going to start right on up here in the first verse and read down a little ways. And it said in the Pharisees, in the 16th chapter of Matthew, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the time, the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed, and went unto his disciples and came to the other side. They had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because ye have brought no bread, do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves or the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves or the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning the bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not to beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. We said last night that the unity and oneness of God's people was a fundamental doctrine of the Church of God. We mentioned how that we had better beware and take heed of any spirit or any attitude that would try to slip in among us that would be contrary to that. Amen. And you know, that's exactly what Jesus was talking about here. He said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. I'd like just for a little bit to look at what Jesus was saying. And I wrote down some things, and you pardon me, but I want to read this because it's heavy in my heart. And I feel like the Lord wants us as a church to get a hold of this. What Jesus was talking about here, and I want to give us a little bit of a history of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and what he was trying to get to them. And I looked this up. Some of this came from Adam Clark, some from Smith's and different places. And I want to just read this to you. And the Pharisees, it says the Pharisees is a party among the Jews that laid great stress upon the observance of rites and ceremonies. They made a pretense of superior piety and separated themselves from the common people. They believed in the immortality of the soul and the resurrection of the body and the existence of angels and spirits. They were the most considerable sect among the Jews. They had the scribes and all the learned men of the law, and most of the people followed them. At the beginning of the rise as a sect, approximately 150 B.C.,
They were probably the most holy people among the Jews, having separated themselves from the national corruption with a design to restore and practice the pure worship of the Most High, even though by Christ's time they had degenerated greatly from the external purity and exactness. You can see that their principles in the beginning were holy. Jesus said they had observed the outside of the cup and platter, and within were full of extortion and excess. They still kept the outward regulations of the sect, but had utterly lost the spirit. Hypocrisy was the only substitute for their power and piety they once had. Now, I hope we got a hold of what this said. He said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And I'd like to read some about the Sadducees, and not as much here. It says they were a materialistic, religious sect of the Jews at the time of Christ. They rejected the traditions of the elders and refused to accept that the oral law was the revelation of God to the Israelites. They believed exclusively in the written law. The Sadducees never exercised the influence the Pharisees did and were more tolerant. They rejected a belief in the resurrection, nor did they believe in future rewards or punishment. Lord, help us this evening. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Lord, help us to recognize the leaven that Jesus was warning us about. While both of these groups may have started out with good intentions, they quickly became nothing but a form. They went along, and I thought about this. The Pharisees, when they started out, had a desire to be able to restore the worship of the Most High in its purity and in its holiness. Oh, doesn't that sound so good? Doesn't that sound good? Their intentions were good, but somehow along the line, they slipped away from that. The Sadducees, the writer said that when they started out, they had the idea of one of the writers, and he said that he taught that man should not try to worship God for all of the benefits of what of the afterlife and having a crown and all of these things. But his desire was that you should worship God out of a love for God. You know, that sounds like a good thought. But I wonder what happened. By the time of Christ, when Jesus came here, he began to say to the people, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Do you know, human reasoning is a powerful leaven. And when human reasoning begins to work just a little bit, it's not long where it will begin to replace the working of the Holy Spirit. And it won't be long until it will substitute it altogether, and all that will be left is just men's works. And I believe that when Jesus came here, this is what he found. The Spirit of God won't work with this kind of leaven. The Lord wants to be able to help us. When the Spirit of the Lord begins to leave something like that, there is a whole host of spirits that will come in. Religious spirits, fanatical spirits, compromising spirits. There's things that will come in that will just try to take over. When we begin to allow this kind of leaven to work in among us and in our lives, and it's not long before the power of the Holy Spirit begins to leave. And when he leaves a vacuum, and all of these things begin to come in. And they'll try to take over, and they'll begin to work. Oh, saints, tonight, Lord, help us. He said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." I believe that we need the Holy Spirit greater than anything else in our lives. We need it not only to teach us truth, but we need it also to preserve our freedom as a people, as an individual, to be able to have liberty and freedom. I wonder, how does this leaven work? How does it work? How is it that this kind of leaven can get down in the heart of a person or in a group of people and begin to work? Many times it starts out because of a little self that was never conquered. And that self is there, and the Holy Spirit begins to work, and he begins to deal, and he begins to come by time after time, and service after service, and he begins to show up that little bit of self, and there'll be trials, and there'll be temptations, and there'll be things that'll come your way and mine. And the Holy Spirit will begin to check us. And He'll begin to show us that self is there. And He's wanting us to find that place where we can have freedom. Where we can find that place where the Lord can help us to conquer that. But what happens many times is that little self is never conquered. And it goes on. And it goes on. And finally, oh, you know, the Spirit, the Scripture said, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man." And it's a dangerous thing when the Lord comes by and He begins to check your heart and He begins to show you this is some place that you need to measure up and you need to draw closer. And you begin to override that and you begin to override that. And eventually the Holy Spirit begins to draw back. And as He does, do you know what happens? That self begins to rise just like leaven. And it begins to rise up. And all of a sudden now, instead of the Holy Spirit beginning to bless you and give you thoughts and inspiration and inspire truth to your heart, as He draws back, human reasoning begins to take over. And things begin to happen and you begin to look and you say, "Oh, well, I think it's this way and it sounds pretty good." And you rationalize it and you begin to go on. And little by little, as that happens, the Holy Spirit just draws back. Little by little, He just keeps drawing back farther and farther until finally He leaves altogether. And all that is left is the work of man. And you know, the Holy Spirit will not work with that. The Lord wants us to be able to have everything surrendered to Him. He wants to be able to have complete right of way in our hearts that we might be able to have a clear vision of the truth of God. And when we begin to hold back on that, oh Lord, help us, it's a dangerous thing. The Pharisees had a good intention starting out. And it don't matter how good your intentions are. Remember last night, without the Holy Spirit, without the Spirit of truth, your perception is totally wrong. And you begin to look at things in a different light. And before long, you begin to wonder about anything that you ever held. It's a dangerous place. Oh, Lord, help us. Sometimes the leaven begins to work in a heart that was once pure. In a heart that loved the Lord, that cherished the things of God. But somehow along the line, something happened. And as they began to go along, there were things that began to happen and they began to get lax in their spiritual life. Oh, you know, the Holy Spirit has power to keep you and I, to preserve us, but it's a daily walk with the Lord. And the enemy of our hearts, he hates truth, and he hates freedom, and he will attack it with every ounce of power that he has. And the way he does that is he begins to work in our lives, and he causes us, maybe we're sincere and we want to go for the Lord, but if we're not careful, we begin to get a little bit entangled. And little by little, we begin to lose that fervency. Is the Spirit glowing in our hearts? Do you feel the love of God burning in your heart? Oh, saints, if we don't, if we just get in a routine to where all that we're doing is coming to service and we just come there and, Lord, help us. We can't raise our hand. We can't testify. We don't feel the moving of the Spirit of God. We better be careful because this enemy of our soul is attacking our freedom. And what he's trying to do is hinder us from being able to be free in service. Oh, Lord, help us tonight. I'm burdened because I see this is a danger that we everyone face. We're not any one of us exempt from it, but it's the power of the enemy that's coming right in. I think about our nation. You know, they say that they've got all of these sleepers that they put into our nation. And what they've done is they've put them here to work unobserved right among us. And you know, the enemy of our hearts is trying to put those things right in our lives. Things that will happen to cause you and I to get so entangled that the real essence of what life is all about escapes us. And we come back to service. You know, it's just a stillness. There's nothing there. Oh, Lord, help us. I'm not, don't mistake me. I'm not looking for emotionalism. I'm looking for the burning of the Holy Spirit in my heart. It doesn't have to be someone running up the aisle. If the Lord blesses, it's okay. But it can be that sweet burning in your heart. And when they get up and they testify and praise God, you can tell it in their testimony. You know they've been with God that day because the Lord has witnessed to my soul. And they get up with a testimony and, oh, I was there beside my bed at night and the Lord met me there. Oh, this is what we need. It's something we need so desperately in our lives because we have a whole group of people that's coming behind us. And we have the world that's looking on and they're wanting to see, is this thing real? Is it something that is real? Or is it just like everybody else and it's just a form? The Pharisees ended up being just a form. All they did was they held rigidly to all of the standards and all of the things that they had, but they denied the very power thereof. Oh, Lord, help us. How can we tell when that is happening? It's because the Spirit of truth is not real in our hearts and the Lord is not witnessing that this is truth when it goes forth. And we find ourselves holding to something rigidly, but the very principle upon which it's founded, we have no idea, and we're violating it on every hand. That's when we're in danger, folks. Lord, help us. There's something that God wants to get a hold to us tonight. This is a danger that we need to guard against. Freedom is precious. And I appreciate it in the church of God. I appreciate the fact that the Lord can come down and witness to my soul. And He can come down and witness to your soul. And He can say, this is truth. And He can bless us. But oh, the enemy is sure fighting. The enemy is struggling against that. Sometimes a person would never just come right out and go against truth. They recognize this is what the Lord showed and I'm held to that. But is the Lord still witnessing truth to our hearts? Is the Lord still bringing it fresh? Because if we're not, then we'll find ourselves just holding to those things. And the Lord is saying, I've got something deeper for you. I've got something that goes farther than that. Oh, Lord, help us. You know, I believe the Word of the Lord is something that's alive. It's not something that we get and we begin to read it and we look at it and we find that, oh, this is the Word of the Lord and it says thus and so and that's all there is to it. But I find that it's something that as I read into it every time, the Lord has something fresh. He has something to bless our souls. And He has something that He wants to feed us. There's a scripture that it says in one place, that which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? The only way that we can find it out is to know Christ. The only way that we can find it out is to have His Spirit burning down in our soul. And we begin to look into the Word of the Lord. And it begins to challenge us. And, oh Lord, there's something there. I want to get a hold of it. And we begin to dig. Do we find that tonight? Is that the way our experience is with the Lord? Oh, don't misunderstand me. I know that there are times that we have dry spells. But you know what those are for? It's to cause us to dig down deeper to get to that water. When we find ourselves in a desert place, the purpose of that is not to just sit there and dry up. But the Lord is saying, I want you to dig. I want you to dig deeper and deeper and deeper until you can hit that old artesian well. And it can be a well of life ringing up within our soul. Do you know sometimes we go along and we just have the same thing over and over again. It gets old. And the Lord says, I want you to find something deeper. I want you to reach deeper depths and higher heights. And so that's why I begin to bring you to this place. But if we're not careful, it's at that time we'll begin to just draw back. We'll just begin to sit idle. And there'll be things that'll happen. Lord, help us. There'll be things that'll happen that we'll find ourselves in a place that we can't understand. I'm going to turn back over here. This scripture that I read last night, 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. He said here, 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, in the 14th verse, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. Oh Lord, help us. The Holy Spirit is there to guide us, to direct us, to preserve us, to keep us. And I wonder sometimes when we begin to look at these things, if we really understand the real fullness of the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I fear this saying more than anything else. Persecution, it'll drive you to your knees. All the things that people do from without will only drive you closer to the Lord. But when you get a hold of something here, and the devil knows this, that causes you to lose that fervency of the burning of the Holy Spirit, he'll destroy us from within. Oh Lord, I believe there was a place, maybe it was Jerusalem. They were talking about how fortified the city was. And they said that there was no place, no way that they could conquer that from without. They said the only way to conquer that is from within. And they went down and found a stream. And they went right into the city and they began to conquer it from within. Do you know this is the place that the enemy is wanting to work in our lives? He wants to get down to that place to where he can get right inside of us and cause us to lose that real fervency. Because I tell you, when that happens, we lose our power. We lose our fight. We lose our determination. We lose our vision. We mentioned last night about the problem of walking afar off with the Lord. And you know, it's because that perspective changes as we get farther and farther from the Lord. And as I begin to get back, and I can't see that depth, and I can't see that real blessing of what the Lord has, then I'm subject to the interpretation and opinions of other people. And so I look to others. Oh, I want to challenge this tonight. If you know that you're not in a place where the Lord is answering your prayers and the Lord is blessing you richly in your soul, I would strongly urge you to be careful of how much stock you put in your own opinions of the Scriptures. You better look to someone, because I'm going to tell you, you'll miss something. I was telling you last night about being colorblind. One time we were driving down the road. My family and I, and we were playing a game of I Spy. We were driving down that road, and as we were driving, they began to name out different things. I see something white, or I see something blue, or something like that. I usually don't play those games because I can't hardly do it. But I was driving down the road, and they were playing this game, and they spotted something on the back of a truck. A semi that was up ahead of us quite a ways. And they called out the caller. I don't remember what it was. And they said, "I spy something such and such." And they were guessing different things. And someone finally got it. And they said, "You see that up there?" I didn't see it. And I looked and I looked. I don't see it up there. I could not see it. And I kept getting closer and closer and kept giving it the gas because I wanted to see what they were talking about. And I got closer and closer until my headlights got right on the back of that truck. And then I could see it. I got close enough to where the light began to shine. And you know, the Lord spoke to me right there. And He said, "That is exactly what I want of the people of God. I want you to get so close to me that the light is so bright that it reveals my image, to where you can see me just as I am. And then you can know that this is truth. And then you can be able to understand how to fight the enemy of your soul." This is what the Lord wants for us. He said, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of God, because they are spiritually discerned." Unless you and I are filled with the Spirit of God, as an individual and as a people, we're in danger of being just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I find here that one of the things of the Sadducees, it said that they would not accept the oral law. Oh, do we get a hold of what this leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? I see on the one hand a people that started out with good intentions and they were strong for the Lord, and they forsook, somehow got away from the Lord, and all they did was hold to these things. But they denied the power. And on the other hand, I find the people that also had a good purpose of serving the Lord out of love, and yet they got to a place to where they said they'll not accept anything unless it's the written law. Oh, how many times have we heard that? Show me in the Bible where it says this and I'll believe it. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. If you show it to me. And sometimes we go to them and we say, this is it. This is the principle of what the Word is teaching. And they say, I don't see it that way. That's your opinion. That's your idea. Why? It's because of their perception. And because of their perspective, they're not close enough to the Lord to be able to behold the beauty of the Lord. They're not be able to close enough to the Lord to understand, this is what I'm looking for from a spiritual perspective. Lord, help us tonight. Because of those things, these people slipped away. And the Lord forsook them. Oh, I'm burdened for the church. I love the freedom that we have in the church of God. I love the truth that we have. But I'm concerned that, Lord, help us that we not lose the fervency the Spirit of God in our soul. Because when we do, I see exactly what happens. And I want to tell you, I'm concerned because I hear more and more, I don't understand it. I don't see it. That's your opinion. And when I hear those things, I wonder sometimes if there's not more of a lack of what we're talking about tonight, of a real infilling of the Spirit of God than you and I would like to admit. Lord, help us. God wants a Holy Spirit-filled church. He wants a church that is willing to deny all the flesh and go all the way with Him. You know, I think about this. When we said last night that the difference in perspective is that the natural man is looking from a natural perspective and the spiritual man is looking from a spiritual perspective. The spiritual man is looking from a perspective of my responsibility to those souls. And you know, that's the place of the church of God. And the standards and the teachings and the things that the Bible has taught. I thought about when the Lord was beginning to bring me those thoughts of that trip when we were there in Colorado. And I thought about that mountain that we were on there. And that trail that went all the way around that high place. And the Lord began to talk to me, and I mentioned it Sunday, of how that was a high road. And there was a reason. And people had gone through those depths. And because of that, they saw that there was a safe place to be able to walk. For people. Why? Sure, there was people that were strong that could go right down through those canyons. But there were people that were weak that would never make it. The weak. Jesus said, I came for the sick. I didn't come for the whole. And I want you to know tonight that the standards that those have gone before us have set on the principles of the Word of God were because they had a responsibility for souls. And they recognized there are souls that are weak that will never make it if they have to go through those valleys. There are people that will suffer temptations that are not able to overcome. And so they set standards that were high. That mountain of holiness. And the Lord blessed that. Amen. And the Lord honored that. And today, and yes, unless you and I have the same burning of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, we'll fail to comprehend the real depths of what they had. The real blessings. And you know, the Lord blessed those people. The Lord blessed the church. And I believe tonight the Lord wants to bless the church. But I believe that He wants to do it to a people that are filled with the Holy Spirit. That have allowed the Lord free reign in their lives. And said, Lord, like Christ, not my will, but Thine be done. Oh, you know, that is a sign of a Holy Spirit-filled people.
That and the love of God. Oh, it was their love that reached out to those poor souls that caused them to hold what they did. And that love is a sign of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. His love perfected in our hearts because I love Him so much. You know, in the very beginning of the Scriptures, we had a story that God left us of Cain and Abel. We find out what happened there. When Cain slew his brother, he said, when God came to him and he began to ask him, he said, Where's Abel? He said, am I my brother's keeper? Lord, am I responsible for him? You know, the Lord was trying to show us from that point all the way down through of our responsibility one another. That's a spiritual perspective. And that's what God wants of His people. Lord, help us tonight. I wonder tonight where we stand. Do we really feel the burning of the Holy Spirit in our life? You forgive me. I'm thankful I know nothing about the congregation. But I'm going to tell you what I know from experience. And that is that when you begin to see the Holy Spirit begin to slip, you begin to see things that begin to happen. First of all, like I talked about, the lack of that real fervency in being in service. The desire to be there, not just Sunday morning, but every time where the Lord is just burning, I want to be there. I thought, as Brother Leslie prayed tonight, and he said, there's no place that I want to be but here. You know, that's because of the Spirit that burns in the heart that gives you that. I understand there's times you can't be here, but I understand also how the enemy begins. Hey, I mean it. When I say that the Lord has set me free, when I'm looking across the aisle, and I'm not looking at anybody because I don't know, but I'm looking across the aisle, now they know all about me, and if I do that, they're going to wonder what I'm doing. Oh, there's none of that when the Holy Spirit begins to work in our heart. The Lord has such a tender love, and He has a way of beginning to work down in our hearts. This is the working of the Holy Spirit. This is how the Lord begins to build the body. The Scripture said, that which every joint supplieth. I don't find that the Lord has a place to set someone over here and He never does anything for the rest of the church. He never edifies or blesses them. I believe that the Holy Spirit in that individual is going to cause them to be a blessing one to another. Amen. This is what God wants of the church. This is the place. It's not the enemies from without that I'm concerned about, but it's the enemy that would try to slip into my heart and yours and will away the working of the Holy Spirit in my life. When that happens, I lose my power. I lose my love, and I lose my relationship with God. Lord, help us tonight.